Thanks for listening to the Calgary Business Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Wozni, and the following episode is part of a special series titled Dr. V's Coaching Corner with Executive Mindset Coaching founder, Dr. Veronica De La Rosa. In this series, Dr. V will seek to unpack her journey of being an entrepreneur, a lawyer, a negotiator, a professor, a mentor, and a coach. Built on the premise that you are your business, Dr. V's Coaching Corner will expand upon what business owners and entrepreneurs can do to use self-confidence and personal alignment as a competitive advantage for their business. Dr. V will also include some tips and tricks that will strengthen your self-confidence and propel your business forward. Before founding Executive Mindset Coaching, Dr. Veronica worked as a lawyer in the corporate sector with both non-governmental organizations and government entities, as well as in higher education institutions in Mexico, France, and Canada. After fighting for more than 25 years for gender equality in the legal trenches, Dr. Veronica founded Executive Mindset Coaching to continue empowering female entrepreneurs from the inside out by helping them to get rid of imposter syndrome and to transform a lack of confidence into fulfilled goals and dreams. In a nutshell, the primary purpose of Dr. V's work is to help women break the proverbial internal glass ceiling. I hope you enjoy the Dr. V's Coaching Corner series, whereby Dr. Veronica De La Rosa will seek to share practical business advice that is meant to benefit both small and medium-sized businesses in most industries and service sectors. I invite you to subscribe to the podcast from whatever app you access your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and even Amazon Music. I also invite you to leave a review. This will allow others to easily find the Calgary Business Podcast, including all episodes in the Dr. V's Coaching Corner series. Once again, thanks for listening and have a great day. Good morning and welcome to episode three of Dr. V's Coaching, episode four, Dr. V's Coaching Corner.
Hello.
I've got Dr. Veronica De La Rosa on. Dr. V, yourself. Welcome.
Thank you. Yes, the fourth episode. I'm excited of this Boost Your Self-Confidence series that we're joining together.
You know, Dr. V, it's been 2 months. The last episode we did was actually 8th of December. That was episode three. So we've had a break. You've had your time to think about the next topic. So today, what, Dr. V, for episode four, what are we talking? What's on the coach's shelf?
It's funny that you mentioned that because actually we're going to talk today about standing up to yourself.
And so not to be confused with standing up for yourself, but...
Yes, not to be confused. And I'm going to just get into that a little bit more. And it's just funny because it's because of this break that we took that it gave me a little bit more time to think. This was a topic that was not originally when we were planning the series, but just as reviewing the ones that we did before and just looking for where are we heading, I thought it might be convenient to insert this one in the middle. Nice. So you might remember that in the past episodes of Boost Your Self-Confidence series, we were talking about the three reasons why self-confidence leads to success, right? So in our past episodes, we talked about the first two. It gives you the drive to start things. It gives you the ability to say no, but also to say yes. And the third one that we were supposed to be talking today is it gives you the ability to stand up for yourself. But then when I was preparing this, as I said, I started thinking that before talking about having self-confidence leads to success because it gives you the ability to stand up for yourself, I needed to talk about how self-confidence leads to success because it gives you the ability to stand up to yourself. There's a subtle difference, right? It's just one preposition.
But so I'll let you expand on this, but I'm thinking yourself, it usually prevents you from doing things. You know, individual, I think it was earlier you and I had a discussion about that swimming, getting up 5 in the morning or 6 in the morning, that first 10 seconds. Yourself, you talk yourself out of
Those first 5 seconds.
Was it 5 seconds? Okay.
Mel Robbins, 5 seconds, yes.
So I don't have 10 seconds. I only have five. Sorry, Mel.
Oh, you only have five. So you have to speed up.
So I would guess that when you say standing up to yourself is like, listen to self. Stop being the doubter, you know, talking me out of these things.
You got it. That's exactly what we're going to be talking today. So when you see the meaning, right? Standing up for yourself means advocating for your own needs,
yes,
internal values, right? Especially when you're being threatened and undermined by someone else.
Right.
It involves setting boundaries, communicating assertively, and taking action to protect yourself from harm or mistreatment, right? Standing up for yourself can be empowering and can help you build your self-confidence, but it's also one of part of this virtuous circle. The more you do it, the more self-confidence you have. The right. more self-confidence you have, the more you can stand up for yourself. And on the other hand, standing up to yourself means challenging your own negative self-talk, limiting beliefs, self-destructive behaviors, right? It involves recognizing when you are holding yourself back or sabotaging your own success and taking steps to overcome these patterns. Standing up to yourself can be difficult, right? Because it requires facing our own fears, doubts, and insecurities. But it leads to personal growth and again, and a stronger sense of self-confidence. Another vicious circle, right?
As you said, it's a slight nuance from for yourself to yourself. So,
but it is a big difference in meaning. And both, of course, both are important. Standing up to and for yourself are both important for personal growth, for developing self-confidence, for continuing this virtuous circle. And because by standing up for yourself, you're asserting your own needs and values, while standing up to yourself involves challenging the beliefs and behaviors that may be holding you back from reaching your full potential, right? And both practices require courage and self-awareness and can lead to greater confidence and self-assurance. So don't worry, in our next episode, we're going to be talking about standing up for yourself.
Okay, so let's step back. I mean, and maybe it's not part of your I'm thinking, what when do you start, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, standing up for yourself or to yourself? And I think standing up to yourself first comes first. So what are the signals or signs that people would, where you would need to?
You are totally right. That's what I was just, when I was preparing standing up for yourself, I'm like, I think I have a little missing piece here that I should probably, and then I started a conversation and then I was like, yes, that's it. This standing up to yourself, right? Like it's, so today that's what we're going to be talking about this, because at the end of the day, confidence doesn't come from your outward achievements. It comes from within.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm going to talk about that just in a minute. I just want to, I know it's probably, they said, you work in marketing, so you know this. How many times you have to repeat a message? We get it. I don't know. It's 17 times, 15 times for us to really, you know.
Yeah. Well, I had a podcast chat a couple of years ago, and Tyler Chisholm, from his marketing company, I can't remember, the name is slipping, but he said before the internet, before kind of, you know, said 5 to 6 touching points to, you know, to get people's attention. Today with the internet and amount of decision makers and they have access to information, it could be up to 25 to 30 different touching points. The trail where someone makes a decision to buy your product or service. So the marketing of it is much more evolved.
But it's not only selling. I mean, the points have, the touching points have increased a number big, but also I teach, right? Yeah. I teach in secondary education and I teach at SAE. And when I'm with the students, I know that there are certain key concepts that I have to keep repeating. Right, because if I just say them once, it's not.
Oh, I see. Good. So to memorize,
almost to internalize the concept.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Right. So that's what I'm just going to talk again about. What is self-confidence? Right. So it's this feeling of self-assurance and trust in our abilities, our qualities, our judgment too. Right. Like, am I doubting myself? Right. It's your judgment too. And And while external factors such as praise and validation from others can contribute to confidence, ultimately confidence comes from within. It's a result of a positive self-image, a sense of competence, and the belief that you're capable of handling challenges and achieving your goals. Right? And what I'm going to be talking today is internal confidence. You can internal confidence, inward confidence, inner confidence is that's that sense that comes within from within oneself, right? Is truly believing in our values, abilities, our decisions. And not because anyone is praising us or someone's telling us that we are valuable, but that we have value, is because we really believe in our own value.
You know, I'm smiling on there because it reminds me of there was a Saturday Night Live character, or Jack Handy. And mm-hmm. He literally would turn to himself, he'd turn to the mirror, I'm good enough, and gosh darn it, I like myself. So it's like, it was called Jack Handy's daily affirmations or something like that. I mean, they put a pun on that because I think 20, 30 years ago, there were a lot of those, you know, those gurus out there to help you with your self-confidence. And it wasn't the internet, because it was before the days of internet. So you were on TV or magazines. So I think it's going back to that. Yes. Today with social media and how things look, how you look, how they look, and you just have so many, you know, success. This person's successful. I was in his class, or this, you know, so you have so many triggers out there that would go against your inner self. It just reminds me of that, how then you had a show and, oh, okay. And then you could talk in the mirror. Right.
I think I'm smiling because I'm a self-confidence guru.
Yeah.
You mentioned all these self-confidence gurus. I'm here. I'm your self-confidence guru. So let's see, like, we are, it's not about this external validation. It's more about a strong sense of self-worth.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so it's this outward confidence or external confidence is more that one that we project to others, right? It's how we appear. The level of confidence that we display in social situations. And there's a lot of people who might be very skilled in this outward confidence, right? Or very skilled in presenting themselves in a confident manner. But they might still struggle with self-doubt or insecurity internally.
I still reminded when you say, every time you talk about, you know, people having confidence, I go back to your comments in one of our earlier chats when you talked about, I had to make a presentation. I think it was in high school, one of your classes, and you had to give a presentation, and it was kind of forced you to talk about, you know, in a uncomfortable, most people are uncomfortable talking in public, whether it's 10 people or 5 or 30 or 100. So you remind me every time I listen to you speak about that, you take me back to when you were younger and your professor or teacher who put you in that situation.
Yes, exactly. And both inwards and outwards confidence are important for our well-being. Today, we're going to be talking about inwards confidence, internal confidence, inner confidence. And then in our next episode, we're going to be focusing more in that outwards confidence, right? Because it's for job. And if they go hand in hand, if you feel very confident inside, you have this confidence put within you, but you don't know how to present yourself, you don't know how to be assertive, you're not going to be successful. And on the other hand, if you know very well how to present yourself, but deep down you're doubting, at some point you're going to self-sabotage.
Right.
So you have to have both, to have this balance, a healthy balance, right, of self-assurance and self-worth.
Right. Good.
So as we mentioned already, we're going to be talking about this inner confidence. It requires self-awareness. It requires self-acceptance, and also the willingness to embrace one's strengths and weaknesses. It involves cultivating a positive mindset, focusing on your achievements and successes, rather than dwelling in mistakes or failures, right? We'll love to do that. It also involves practicing self-care, setting realistic goals, taking small steps towards personal growth. and development so you can build this inner confidence, right? Surrounding yourself with positive people. So there's many, many things that you can do to improve or boost your inner self-confidence. And so today I'm going to give you some tips, as I always do, right? Some very practical steps that we can follow to boost our inner self or to boost our confidence from within.
It's incredible when I look, you know, again, there's that, they're competing forces. So needing that balance, because, you know, and I think people, and I was listening to a podcast with an artist. He was talking about, my mom kept saying, you got to get a job. You got to get a job. Well, I do have a job. I'm an artist. I'm a musician. And eventually he got that, you know, he had the, so I think he had the inner confidence to go that next level. But he had the competing force of saying, hey, this isn't good enough. You're not making money off of this.
Right.
And I'll share who that was. It's a little company called Black Eyed Peas, or musician called Will I Am. And he was describing that, the competing forces. He had the confidence in inner confidence, but he had the external pressure. So I literally, if you don't know his success, you know, there's certainly plenty of literature on that. But it just reminds me, wow. That's everyone out there today. There's a competing forces. So how do you know, let's start there. Back to, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's the inner, inner is precedent for, it sounds like it must be the precedent. It must be the first priority first. Let's take care of your inner self.
Yes. Let's, so the first step, what I will do is, you know, three is my lucky number. So I will do three steps and okay. Three action items. Three tips to improve your confidence from within. And each one of those action items will have three steps, just to make it easier.
Okay.
Right? So the first one will be quiet your inner critic.
Ooh.
You know, like now that we have a better of understanding of why, before talking about how self-esteem allows you to succeed in the outside world, we should talk about how self-esteem allows you to come into terms with that internal conflict. Just what you were saying, that internal conflict that is holding you back.
Yeah.
No, that voice in your head can be sometimes, let's talk, we'll talk in a minute about this, well, external voices, right? But let me start internally. I always like to work from the inside out. So let's talk about that voice before even folk, because the more you strengthen that internal voice, the less you're gonna listen to the external ones.
They remind me again, there was a Seinfeld episode. The little man, what's the little man in your head? What does the little man in your head say? The little man's an idiot. That was George saying something. The little man's an idiot, because it's, you know, solving it with the little man or little person in your head. So.
Yeah. Right. So, so let's start looking at how we can quiet that inner critic. So this negative or self-defeating voice in your head that can hold you back from achieving your goals, from living the life you want, that limits your potential, right? That prevents you from taking action or makes you feel stuck or helpless. We'll have had it. Like, it sounds something along the lines of, I'm not smart enough to succeed. I'll never be able to find a fulfilling career. I'm not attractive enough to have a happy relationship. I'm not worthy of love or respect. I will fail at everything I do. I'm too old or too young to start something new. Right? We all have that. So this voice in your head that can be persistent and sometimes overwhelming. Sounds familiar? You know, I can tell you that for me, it sounds familiar. Like, I'm not saying, oh, because I work in self-confidence, I never hear that voice. Of course I hear that voice, right? I just know how to quiet it. Sometimes it's harder, sometimes it's easier, but at least I have a method that I follow. And that's what I want to share with you.
That's what, you know, this, I mean, I think if anybody says they've never had it, then, you know, that it's self, that maybe they're so confident, but I would say from a child right through to your university, whatever situation you've named off 17 situations, and I'm sure there are another 100 or so that could be easily, you know, situations could be put into that list.
Yeah, and if somebody says that they've never had it, either they are lying or they have zero self-awareness, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't think that there's one person that's never had it. And I think it gets louder every time we're ready for a next the next level in our life, right? When you're starting a new job, when you are doing something new, when you're starting a new project, that is when it just gets louder. A new relationship, a new partnership, like then is because you don't know, because it's this uncertainty, right? That makes you doubt yourself. So what can we do in those cases, right?
Yeah.
How can we, now that we know that we recognize that the voice is there, well, let me give you some practical steps so you can get that voice quiet. So it's not driving the boss, right? Because the problem is when it's driving the boss and then you can't do anything because you're listening to this and you're just doing what this voice is telling you. I just make a note here that we should not confuse this negative talk with intuition, right? With listening to an intuition. It's a different voice. And we're going to talk about that in a moment.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
This is this negative voice that's self-defeating. So let's start by identifying it. That's the first step, you know, self-awareness. You have to identify. It sounds very almost silly, but it's the first step. You have to become aware that it's happening. You have to become aware that it's happening. Just notice the thoughts and beliefs that are contributing to your self-talk. And you might have a go-to one, right? Like you might have the go-to message that you're receiving constantly. And so that's the first step. You have to identify. Because once you identify them, you're able to challenge them. You're able to just take a moment and say, ask yourself, are these thoughts really true? Is there evidence to support them?
You know, this is literally similar to the discussion I had with the folks over at Assured Psychology. And it was that thing. It's like, look into yourself. Why did that upset me? Like it was, the example was somebody cut you off in the car. So that kind of road rage. And he said, if you step back, were you afraid? Were you, why were you angry? Were you afraid, right? It was a dangerous situation? And that literally changed the perspective of how you're thinking about the other person. It was your inner thoughts or, oh, that guy cut me off. He said, what was it? Were you scared? And that literally like, yeah, I could have got into an accident. My child was in the car. Literally it changed the perspective so that that's probably why I got angry. I was scared. So sorry, this is incredible because you identify or create awareness. Like wait a minute, why am I afraid of this speech? Or why am I afraid that I'm not good enough? Like, so thank you. This is incredible. It's consistent with what I'm, some of the experts out there in other fields.
Right. This is the hardest part to do. I mean, yeah. Once you are aware and you identify that negative self-talk, you are, I would say 70% ahead already. Because
you change it. You change the perspective immediately. And it's what you just said, identify. So why are you having
this? You might not change your perspective immediately. Sometimes you might need to look for evidence.
Well, you're injecting something. You're injecting a piece that changes it slightly, right? Even if it's just a slight tweak. The volume, wait a minute, it lowers the volume, as you said earlier.
Right, quiets a little bit, right? Let's take, for example, this one that I'm too old to start something new, right? Maybe we need to find evidence. Like, okay, I identify, okay, I'm thinking this, I'm too old to start something new. And then, am I really too old? And then can I find any evidence that supports that or not? Right? Like it's, and then you can look. There's
plenty of evidence. Go to the graveyard. It all died with them. Those ideas died with them. No, I don't mean it, but the ideas of not starting something, it will die with you.
Right.
Or you can do something about it right there where you said, am I too old? No, because I'm not dead. I'm still alive. That could be the practical thing.
I love that. Exactly. Right. You're still alive. And there's plenty of evidence of people who have started new things.
Yes.
At different ages.
Ray Kroc. If you don't know who Ray Kroc is, he's the founder of McDonald's. And he was, I don't know, he was a salesman selling milkshake machines. And he went down to somewhere, I think it was in Arizona, and they wanted two milkshake machines, the restaurant. So he went to, I don't know exactly where it was, but he went because he's like, why? Everyone else is buying one. Why are these guys buying two? Because they had the traffic. So he said, I got to, that was, and he, I think he was in his late 50s, maybe 50. I think he was pretty old when he started McDonald's.
Right. I know, for example, Louise Hay, which is a Hay House, a big editorial house for personal development in the United States. And but they now they translate their books to many languages and they sell all over the world. And she started the business when she was 60. And then she was probably doing very well by 80. Yeah. And so you have different people. Like there's a TED Talk. Let me see if I, when we post this, I might just link that. I'll send it to you.
I think that's incredible. Yeah, that I love that because that's the best, one of the, that's not the best, but it's one of the known, well-known ones where they say, I'm too old, right? Mm-hmm. I'm too young, is you still got time. You'll figure out something. But when I'm too old, it's a defeat. It's a very natural defeatist, no matter how old you are. Can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? Where do you think that comes from?
Right.
I'd love to know where that.
And we can say it, you know, like the man in the mirror. I'm not too old. I'm not too old. But you might need some evidence. You might need some
Jack. Proof Jack Handy. Jack right? Handy. What do you think, Jack Handy? I'm good enough. I'm proud enough. And gosh darn it, I like myself. But yeah, I mean, the I'm too old. I love this. That's probably the most practical example for a lot of folks out there.
Yeah, and there's this video. This person. He's an engineer. He started his company in his 70s. In his 70s, and he's very successful now. And he has a TED Talk on how about this exactly. You're never too old to start a new thing. So if I find it, I will tag it in.
What was that? And the company you mentioned, Hay House.
Hay House.
Hay House. Okay. Yeah.
So you know you can because then you once you identify, then you challenge and you look for evidence, right? Because sometimes if you just repeat in front of the mirror, it might not work.
It's but not enough. Evidence, it might not be enough. Yeah.
Right. Then you can reframe those thoughts into positive or at least neutral statements, right? And then you have to practice self-compassion. That's the third step.
Wait, what was second step then?
Challenging and looking for evidence to challenge those thoughts.
Okay.
Right? Very practical one. And then the third one is self-compassion. That one's hard. It's hard to practice self-compassion. We're too hard on ourselves. We harshly criticize what we say, what we do. So practice self-compassion. Be kind and understanding to yourself, just as you would to a close friend or a loved one.
Yeah.
And remember, quieting negative self-talk takes time and practice, right? So by consistently practicing these tips, it is possible to cultivate a more positive and self-compassionate inner dialogue and build greater self-respect and self-esteem and self-confidence.
Well, and then see, if you take probably a couple of examples like, oh, I'm too overweight or I'm not, you could, you know, that could trigger you to do exercise before you do something that might cause you to say, I'm too overweight or I'm not physically fit. You know, I can't do 100 pushups, but I can do one or I can do two. I can't run a marathon, but I could probably walk the block. So it starts with walk. You know what I mean? It's something right. Small. And then over time, you eventually would hit that. I mean, I think these are the self-doubting of, I can't post on social media. I can't record a video, but can you write? You know what I mean? It's like, so you find something that maybe you could, that's lesser. Right. The lesser of the two evils. So I think there, I love what you're saying because you literally challenge, first of all, create awareness. What did I just say? And then challenge yourself. Well, okay, there true? Are. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
By challenging yourself, basically you asking the question, is this true? Like really true? Can I find evidence to prove that it's true or it's false?
Yeah. You and I talked earlier. We talked about, I can't use that because I don't have that kind of software, but now, or that computer. Does your sister have one or your brother, your mother, the company you work for? Like there's an outlet somewhere. And I think that's a challenge yourself. Look for evidence that could support doing what you just said you couldn't do.
Yes. Yes. And then be self-compassionate, right? Like give yourself a little room to say, okay, it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to be perfect. I'm doing the best I can.
Dr. V, this is incredible. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about how practical. And I don't mean this from a guy, I'm getting goosebumps, but it's how practical this is and how simple yet so complicated.
Yes.
And I mean, the complication comes from, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
takes practice, right? It takes the practice of catching yourself every time you have this thought, right? So that's what I wanted to mention. Some, like, if you catch yourself, if you, like, any of the listeners, like, I'm too old for this. Okay, you just remember this episode and just remember what are the steps that you have to take, right? And what you were just saying just takes me to the second action item. Celebrate your accomplishments. Even if you do one push-up, right? Because it's better than it was yesterday. And that's what you have to say, to have that, this links the self-compassion with the celebrating your accomplishments. You don't have to be perfect. One push-up is enough. Let's celebrate. Because it's the first step towards my goal.
This reminds me. So Ange Haley out of Banff, we've started, you know, she talks about anti-diet.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of diets force you to, you know, set a goal. And if you miss the goal or you're over the goal, like counting calories and things like that. And she said, my clients we work with, so that you look at that bag of chips on the shelf,
mm-hmm.
and you're okay with having it because you celebrate. It's almost a celebration of the other things you've accomplished. I don't know exact things, but I can't, you know, the diet side of it. She said most of her clients come in and nothing's working. I tried this, I tried that, I tried all these programs, and none of it worked. And she says, "What do you, you know?" And she breaks it down into the. It's not just the diet; it's the lifestyle thing. So it's you're literally celebrating your accomplishments by grabbing that bag. You just reminded me of that, grabbing that bag of chips on the shelf because it just sits there, and you don't want because you feel guilty. But if you're not feeling guilty, I think you're right to that point. You celebrate your accomplishments, even if it's a one chip, because you recognize. I'm saying it's part of that. You know, I can't diet, right? I think, oh, Dr. V, I've lost you. Okay, so your practical examples for celebrating your accomplishments, is it like have a big party, invite all your friends?
Yeah, well, like it depends, right? Like we have to, what I want to point out here is that instead of dwelling on shortcomings or failures, which is what we do, right? We dwell there, like I did this wrong and it was not perfect. And you have to focus on your achievements, right? You have to celebrate successes and recognize personal achievements. This is an important part of building your inner self-confidence and maintaining motivation. So again, let's do three practical steps. So the first one is acknowledge your accomplishments. Take time to recognize them. Again, a little bit of awareness, right? What are my accomplishments? Like, no matter how small they seem, that example you were saying about the one push-up, right? Again, that's big. If you've been trying to exercise for months and finally you get to do one or two push-ups or just go for a walk for 15 minutes, that's huge.
No, it's incredible. Even my daughter was, you know, she's 17 and she was mentioning, this is a few months ago, we're talking about push-ups and, oh, I can't do it. So I think you start with your legs, your knees on the floor, and then you start slowly. And she eventually got to 10 doing with a full push-up. And it's incredible the mindset. Acknowledge it. I love it. So acknowledge, going back to the create awareness, I can't do it. Okay, well, let's just try what you can do.
Yeah, that's right. And once you do it, let's celebrate it.
Yeah.
Right? And share. Sometimes it's good also to share with others. Like you were saying to your daughter, she told you, hey, Dad, I managed to do this thing, and you celebrated with her, right? That just reinforces the positive feelings associated with that accomplishment.
Well, then she hurt her shoulder and she doesn't do them anymore. I think she overdid it. But that is the other side of it is people overdo it and then they get injured and then they set that back. I can't do it because of that injury. So then that cycle starts over again. So maybe
right. And then it's when you can dwell in your failures, right? Or have no self-confidence because you can be too hard on yourself. Oh, I heard this because I was doing that. I probably did too much. Well, it's what it is, right? So just give yourself a break.
That's right, yeah.
Right? And so you can share your success with your friends, family, colleagues, or even social media. Right? Like if you want to share something, maybe it's also a good place. Then the second one, the second step here is treat yourself. Celebrate your successes by doing something that you enjoy or treating yourself to something special. Again, that can reinforce these positive feelings, right? Like and provide motivation for others' future successes. Like, do you have one way of treating yourself, Alan? I can tell you that mine is ice cream. Okay, look, it might be a very little thing, but I enjoy ice cream very much, especially this. I go for a sundae in
Village Ice Cream. You mentioned, I mentioned offline. Village Ice
Village
Cream.
Ice Cream.
And I think they're just over, just off of Marta Loop and the old Tecumseh.
Yeah, they do have there. I go to the University District one, but yes. They, it's just for me, that's it, right? It's just, it's not, I like ice cream. I have ice cream here and there, but for me, it's a celebratory sundae, right? Like they will put this whipped cream and then the hot fudge and the cherry on the top, which is for me like, and that for me is a celebratory way of every time I have a success, like I achieve a new certification or I get a nice recognition or something like that, I go for that. So that's my go-to treat, my celebratory treat.
The guilt on the food side is, you know, as I said, Ann Shelley will talk to you about dieting and how you can come guilt-free by just approaching to it on an emotional level, like food. She talks about approaching food on an emotional level. I would say that if I do, you know, celebrate or with food, it would be ice cream or candy or sweets, something like that. But I have to do something else to balance that, like a workout,
right.
Or it has to be so that I feel, because when you eat something sugary or whatever, you pay for it later. And so I feel the guilt, I have to do those push-ups or I have to do a workout or something physical in a sense. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't have to be. Like for me, it's ice cream because I love that. I love the decadency of that specific dessert, right? That I only have, as I said, in celebratory occasions. But it can be a different thing. I mean,
it could be a binge. Sorry, I'll give you that. Sorry to cut you off, but it could be a binge watch on Netflix.
Exactly.
I've just worked hard. I deserve this time off. And that's me, but that's a lot of people I know. They're just like, yeah,
right.
I just need to veg out, and they watch whatever program they watch. And I love that.
Right.
I love that.
We all have guilty pleasures, right? So that might be a way to celebrate your successes.
Yeah.
So it will vary depending on the person. It's just what I'm just saying. Just find yours.
Yeah.
And celebrate when you have a success.
So that was two. We got a third one.
Make your thing, right? And then we have the third. The third one is reflect on your successes. Take time to reflect on your successes and consider what you did well or what you might want to do differently in the future. This can help also to build on your successes, right? In the future. What made me be so successful in this situation? I might want to do more of that.
Yeah.
So just celebrating accomplishments is important because, again, boosts your self-confidence, provides you with motivation and acknowledges hard work and also inspires others, right? And reinforces positive behavior.
You know, I wanted to just, it just reminded me some of this about the athletes. It was a lot of high performance athletes. They go through a phase, and I can't remember where I was reading this, but they're always used to that high level of achievement and performance and so forth. When they're done, if they retire per se, they need that adrenaline or they need the replace. So if they don't have it, and then maybe this is one of my discussions on the Assured Psychology team, that if they don't have that constant high level, they can get depressed.
Right. Because
and I'm just thinking, I don't know if it fits here, but they don't have that constant affirmations or constant reflection because they don't have that in their lives. And I don't know if it fits here, but you just reminded me of that when you were saying.
It's also the validation, right? Like it's also the external validation when you are, I know very successful people who are in jobs that are term jobs for years, 8 years, whatever that is. And then once they finish the term, it's the same. They're lacking maybe dopamine or I don't want to talk about that because I don't know the chemicals very, but they will be.
But the stimulation that the kind
right,
of
like boost of
the adrenaline or whatever it is. I think it is dopamine. You're right.
Dopamine. I think it's dopamine. So when that external validation is giving you, right? So then you have to look for it inside yourself, inwards.
Yeah.
What can you do? Like maybe you're not doing that anymore, but if that you had successes and that made you happy and gave you fulfillment, what can you do to go get there? Might not, obviously it's not going to be the same thing, but that's just you evaluate your successes, you reflect. And then it takes me to the next step, the next action item, which is focus on your strengths. Right. So you can, especially when you're reinventing yourself, This is very important. Focusing on your strengths is an important aspect of building self-confidence. And let me give you three steps so you can focus more on your strengths. So the first one, again, is self-awareness, right? Identify your strengths. Take time to identify your strengths, such as your skills, your abilities, your personal qualities, your values. Consider what comes naturally to you, what others have complimented on you. And my personal favorite, take personality assessments, right? For example, one that I like very much is a EQI 2.0. Uh-huh.
So EQI, emotional intelligence. EQI? Yeah.
2.0.
EQI?
This is an emotional intelligence inventory created by Multi Health Systems, MHS.
Oh, okay.
That can provide insight into your emotional intelligence by measuring specific competences related to emotional intelligence, such as self-awareness, self-regulation, empathy, social skills, stress management, and motivation.
Yeah.
I know this one very well because I got certified to administer the assessment. Yeah. Mostly because I love how it measures your ability to perceive, understand, and regulate your own emotions, as well as the emotion of others. Right? And plus, I truly believe that knowing yourself is an important component of personal growth and development.
So for the benefit of the listeners, and you'll get us the link to the MHS or multi-health systems.
It's an assessment that you can only do with certified professionals. You cannot just go into the website.
Okay.
And so if anybody's interested in understand themselves, knowing how to make informed decisions about their lives or knowing more about this assessment, you can reach out to me on my website and LinkedIn and Instagram. And then I'm happy to give you more information about it.
Perfect. Perfect. But we can. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I like that because it's only certified professionals that can apply this. So it's a very strict and serious assessment. But you have to go through a week training. And then we have a lot of hours after that just to keep the certification active.
Yeah.
And it's a very good assessment for emotional intelligence. It's the best one in the world, I will say.
Okay.
And so once you know what are your strengths, you have to set goals that align with those strengths.
So right? this is the second tip or second action item.
Right? Like, you know your strengths. Now, what do you do with that? Well, when you set goals that align to those with those strengths. And that makes more sense, right? Because knowing your strengths and just setting goals, you do a path where you're going to automatically feel more confident. Because you are making the most of your talents rather than just setting goals that really they can be smart goals, but if they are not really aligned with your strengths, it's going to be harder.
Right.
And probably less fulfilled as well.
Well, even take the example of the push-ups, 100 push-ups. I literally have it's called 7 steps, 7 weeks, 100 push-ups. Mm-hmm. And it's daunting. You're not going to do 100 push-ups. You probably don't even over the 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. But what it does, it builds you up and it has a beginner, intermediate, and expert or higher level, three levels. So when you first start, you do your own, you do assessment. All right, do in whatever it is, give you like 5 minutes, how many push-ups. And then it slots you in for your 7 weeks where you should be. So it seems daunting, but I love this. So align that goal. Right. I'm going to do 100 push-ups. But if you can't do it, it tells you where you should be. It's simple.
Right. I'm thinking at some point when you decided to do a podcast, right? It's probably because you're very good at communicating. You're very good at having conversations. And you're leveraging on one strength to achieve a goal.
I just wanted to talk about different topics. But I was listening to podcasts, right? I remember, and we tested one. We couldn't get the, my colleague was in Dubai and I was in Doha. And so, you know, literally it's only 100 kilometers away, 200 kilometers distance, but we couldn't get the phone, you know, connected and it didn't work. We just wanted to talk about, you know, some of the technology things that we were learning. Let's do a podcast, right? And I had that natural, but it was something just was out there. You hear people talking and you want to do it. I'm going back to my own marathon here in Calgary.
Right.
I was volunteered I was on the mile marker 17 and mile marker 35 or kilometer mark. You know, it was Calgary Marathon, July 94 or 93, whatever it was. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I can run. I was running 10Ks and I was younger and I'm like, I can run a marathon because look at these people. They're inspiring. So I'm telling you, I saw them coming 17 kilometer mark and then returning the 35 kilometer mark just along Memorial Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could do this. So it started with half marathon and build up, right? But you need a trigger. I can do a podcast or I needed the trigger to validate it and going back to align with my strengths, right? Because, uh-huh. Yeah.
And I will say that I think you're a very good communicator, right? And I think that I think this podcast is a goal that is totally aligned with your strengths. And I don't know, I'm pretty sure you did it consciously, right? But that's what people have to say. Once you identify your strengths, you find one thing, one goal that is aligned, and then it's just easier.
Yeah.
To achieve.
That's brilliant. Again, it seems so practical and simple, yet. Probably many people can't get to that step because they're still back at the very beginning, the inner voice.
Everybody has different strengths, right? People are very good at analyzing. Other people are very good at strategy. Or other people are very good at communicating.
Yeah.
Other people are very good people persons. Like, it depends where your strengths are. If you're very good at IT, you're very creative, then try to identify those strengths and then pair them with your passions. What are things that you like? And then that's your goal right there.
Okay, so that's set goals that align with your strengths. And the third tip now on this one.
Surround yourself with positive people. Surround yourself with supportive people who believe in you and believe in your abilities. Seek out friends, family members, mentors, coaches that can provide encouragement and guidance to work towards building your confidence from within and achieving the life that you want to have. And just like they said you are the five people that are surrounding you, right? Like, so who are you hanging out with? Are these people supporting you or not? Yeah. Right? It's a little bit of evaluation there is important too. And that's if they are not being positive, impacting your life positively, then boundaries, right? Boundaries is another thing we're going to be talking about in another episode. But just try to surround yourself with positive, supportive people who believe in you and your abilities. Right? So remember, focusing on your strengths is an important part of building inner self-confidence and achieving your goals.
Well, this is so let's go back. So we just to summarize this, because this is, you know, taking the old acronym of, you know, standing up for yourself.
Right.
Dr. V has given some real, in my view, real practical tips of standing up to yourself. And Dr. V, I want to give you the last, because this is, you know, standing up to yourself, Dr. V, thank you. And so I'll give you the last words here.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yes. Quiet your inner critic, right? Celebrate your accomplishments. Focus on your strengths and just follow those steps that I already mentioned. And just to summarize our episode today, inner confidence is a feeling of self-assurance that comes from believing in you and your qualities, right? While external factors such as validation from others can contribute to self-confidence, ultimately, true confidence comes from within.
That's brilliant.
So I'm actually thinking that we could use some visuals here, right? Next time but I posted this in YouTube so people can see it too. Maybe we'll need a software where we can actually just have those visuals. But in the meantime, I think I'm going to create with this information, a checklist for people to follow. So just follow my social media and I will present it there. I will put the link there so you can download that checklist.
Well, Dr. V, this has been, as I said, I think these are really practical. It's not just, I've used the words platitudes or I've heard that word. It's you know, just a bunch of words to say. These are practical, people can use right now, today, tomorrow, this afternoon, if they are having this, you know, how to stand up to yourself. It's hard to get, because how to stand up for yourself, it's literally, no, this isn't a fight. It's an inner fight.
Right, it's an inner fight. It's an inner fight for sure.
Yeah.
Right, but when a person believes in themselves, when a person is able to stand up to themselves, they are more likely to take risks, to pursue goals, to handle challenges with resilience. Right, and on the other hand, when somebody cannot do that, they might shy away from opportunities, doubt their abilities, and struggle to overcome obstacles. Right,
literally reminds me of the movie with Jim Carrey. It's called Liar Liar, and he couldn't lie. So in order to, he had to beat himself up at the courthouse. He beat himself up in the men's washroom and came back. Judge, I need that. I got beat up. And he goes, can you continue? He goes, yes. But he was literally beat up to so badly because he couldn't lie. His inner self couldn't lie to himself. It was a brilliant kind of acting thing, but it sets the stage of, he had to beat himself up to not lie, and he still lied. He still couldn't lie to say, are you beat up enough that you can't continue? He goes, no.
that's a visual of that inner conflict, rather, we're living sometimes.
He literally does it so well. But that's an, I love, so the analogy would work. You don't need to go that far, folks. Dr. V assures you don't need to beat yourself up.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Thank you. And if you have any questions about this topic, you can reach out via LinkedIn or in my website.
You want to remind the listeners what that website is?
Yeah, the website is veronicadelarosacoaching.com.
That's a long word. So that's long. We'll put that in episode notes, folks. And Dr. V, thanks so much again for your words.
Thank you. That was fun to be here with you in your podcast.
Have a great day and look forward to episode number 5 when it comes soon. Cheers.
Bye.